in the days that followed. And you can bet in the sieges, you know, Masada, the Jews committed suicide rather than submit to the Romans. But still, fall on us and hide us from the face. Cover us that we have not to see him and face our judgment. I don't know. That seems to be connected to this somehow. I heard someone suggest, oh, the dry is the Holy Spirit. That doesn't make sense to me. For if they do these things in a green tree, it's connected to the previous verse, fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry? A green tree could refer to the character of his ministry. He was healing and teaching and kind. A green tree, refreshing. He brought forth the refreshing of the Lord. You know, Christ was like a breath of fresh air, bringing forth healing and good doctrine. And he was such a kind and humble person when he came. But at the second advent, the character of the ministry is completely different. And the ministers have another character as well. You know, when they start smiting the earth with all plagues as often as they will, and bringing fire forth out of their mouths to devour their enemies, if you think they hated Christ, how much more are they going to hate his ministers in the end times? If they do that to Christ, what are they going to do when the tree is not so green? You know, a green tree comes, Christ's ministry, and this is what they do to it. What will they do when a dry tree comes that gives them nothing good, only bad, that brings forth nothing that man should desire? Christ offered them many good things, but the ministries of the end times are not going to be offering good things. We are going to offer them plagues. We're going to offer them famine. We're going to offer them drought. We're going to offer them fire. And what will be done to those ministers? Well, we already know in the Revelation, they're going to overcome them and kill them. And they're not going to suffer their bodies to be buried as Christ was, but they're going to leave their corpses in the streets. And what will happen to their children? But very soon, when they rise and they stand on their feet, that's when people are going to really begin to fear. Fear fell upon them that saw them. Great fear. When their enemies behold them. Verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. The Calvary is the Greek for the Hebrew Golgotha, a skull. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And here we have the account of the malefactors brought and crucified with him. And the other Gospels, there are described two thieves, and they both mock him. And they were brought later, after he was crucified, after he began to be crucified. So they would often crucify as many people at the same time. First they brought Christ, and these malefactors, they were crucified with him. Later they brought two thieves who mocked him. And that they both mocked him. The same cut him with their teeth, it says. The reason is because people will look at this and they're like, oh, there's a contradiction. It's like, not really. All it is different details are given in different accounts. And all these verses, 34 through 38, you know, they parted his garment. They cast lots. The people stood. They look. They stare at me. The rulers deride him. He saved others. You know, in this gospel, they do not quote, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani. from Psalm 22. But the details here are right from Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is another one of those prophecies of Christ, 1,000 years before he was born, written by David. And this, the fact that it was written is indisputable because of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the exact timing of the writing, I suppose some might dispute. But the fact that it was in existence prior to Jesus is absolute. Because it's proven, with archaeological evidence via the Dead Sea Scrolls. And also that the words lion, when it says a lion on my hands and feet, is wrong. The original rendering was, they pierced my hands and my feet. Referring to the crucifixion of Christ from 1,000 years before he was born. Psalm 22 verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did not forsake Christ. In fact, later in the psalm, if you read verse 24, it says, he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. People say that God hid his face from Christ when Christ was on the cross because Christ became sin and God can't look on sin. But Christ is God. I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of theological gobbledygook passed from hand to hand by tradition. It's just a traditional interpretation. And people's minds are conditioned to think in these terms. God did not forsake Christ. But Christ felt forsaken. Just like you might feel forsaken, but I say God has not forsaken you. That's the thing, is like, on the one hand, they want to say, God forsake Christ. Well, then God might forsake me, won't he? But no, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He did not forsake Christ. But Christ felt forsaken. You might come to a place where you feel forsaken and lost and totally out of your way. But God does not forsake his chosen. But you might feel and you might say, why have you forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You know, David wrote this 1,000 years before Jesus. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. You know, think about it. He cried in the garden. He cried from the cross. Thou inhabited the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Now listen carefully. You really see how Christ is contained in this. This is a prophecy of exactly what happened to him. And there's no doubt that it did happen to him. We have the physical evidence